some people can get fooled by okay. I should have got fooled, but it'll be okay. All right. So, have y'all ever heard somebody say a phrase like, actions speak louder than words? What does that mean? What's that mean to you?
It means if the way you behave isn't the way you talk, what you say doesn't matter as much.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, what you actually do means more than what you say you're going to do. What about look before you leap? Have anybody ever heard somebody say, look before you leap? Ben? Yeah. Yeah, you could think of the literal interpretation of like jumping into water or jumping off a cliff, but it also, you know, means think before you act, simply. Look before you leap. My grandma used to say that all the time, whether it was jumping in a pool or, you know, about to slap my brother on the back of the head. It just kind of represents thinking before you act. How about practice makes perfect? Has anybody ever heard that? What's it mean? Somebody other than these two guys. Practice makes perfect. What does it mean? All right, so what is it? Yeah. Okay. Skills improve with effort. And then how about you reap what you sow? Have you guys heard that before? What's that mean? Yeah, that's great. Actions have consequences. I thought consequence would be a hard one to just get. When you think of these simple terms that you've heard before, sometimes they have really deep-rooted meaning. And all of these together, you know, why do people repeat them? It's because they've heard it before, and it's usually from somebody older or a friend or a peer that has heard it from somebody older that shares it. And all of these sayings are called proverbs. And we'll get into Proverbs in our Bible if you want to turn there. But Proverbs are something that God has just been putting on me continually, because it's a way for wisdom to be passed from one generation to another. It's a short traditional saying that expresses a basic truth or practical piece of advice based on common sense and human experience. A saying that teaches a practical lesson about life, behavior, or wisdom. And it isn't just information. It's wisdom that, if learned and applied, helps us make better choices. And Proverbs, before we get into the Bible, are all over the world, in all different cultures, not just from the Bible necessarily. It's these old wise sayings, and I did a little research on some of them from around the world that I thought I'd share before we jump into our Bible. But they all start with just the desire of one generation to pass this information on to the next, right? So here's an African proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. What do you think that means? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Yep. That's right. Teamwork and friendship matter. So that was a proverb from the African culture. A couple Chinese proverbs, and they have a lot. This one was interesting. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. What do you think that might mean? Ben? Yeah, that's a good way to interpret it. It's never too late to do the right thing. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
It means that every journey or a walk begins somewhere.
Yeah, and even if you look at it kind of literally, like the proverb is with walking, great achievements require starting with small, concrete actions. And, you know, that's something in my life that sometimes you feel like you're at the bottom of the mountain looking up, and it's a daunting task. And sometimes you can just sit there and stare and have all types of emotions, but you're never going to get to the top unless you take that first step. So here's a Native American proverb. We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. Which can mean be responsible and think about the future. And then an English proverb, and we'll get into where we're supposed to be. I'm sure you guys have heard this one before. Don't judge a book by its cover. Heard that? It's a proverb. Not a proverb from the Bible, but it is a proverb that is from one culture around the world. This one happens to be England. And it's just something that passes wisdom on from one generation to another. So I found when, you know, I didn't get to grow up in the church. I grew up in New Jersey. And in the Northeast, there's a lot of religion. True Bible preaching, Bible believing churches, Baptist churches, not so much. A lot of Catholic churches. I went to a Presbyterian church because I had my parents drop me there every Sunday, but I had a lot of Jewish friends, a lot of Muslim friends. New Jersey is kind of like a melting pot for all cultures. And I don't know about you guys, but when I got thrown into, you know, being more active in church later in my high school years, and especially when I got to college in the South where there were a lot of Baptist churches preaching the gospel, there's some terms that are used by pastors and preachers that, you know, everybody seems to know. But for me, not being a church kid, I didn't necessarily know. And in my mind, I was like, okay, now I've heard it before. So I recognize it, and now I think I know it. But what I find great joy in, I've been really called to the past few years, is take like the simplest things that seem to be those things that just everybody gets when they're growing up in church and really trying to understand it. And I think Proverbs was one I did early on, which is really neat because, you know, when you read the Bible, sometimes the words are big and hard to understand maybe in the King James, but when you truly try to understand just the foundation of how things, why things were created, by who they were created, when, and for what purpose, it helps you understand it. And then as we'll go through kind of the applications of God's word, but from a inspirational standpoint, you need to understand it to be able to figure out how I'm supposed to read it, understand it, and then apply it to my life. Because everything in this book is, while it was written a long time ago, it applies to your life right now. And Proverbs is a really easy place to start, how to really start applying what you're reading in the Bible. So the book of Proverbs in the Bible is a revelation of wisdom from Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, that we read in Proverbs 1:1. So as you're trying to understand who this is written to or written from, it's nice when they let you know right in the first verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. The historical application of Proverbs is Solomon, David's son, is now the king of Israel. And he wants to impart his wisdom to his son, Rehoboam. And there's some other authors in Proverbs, but the majority of them are from Solomon. And he's writing to teach a king's son, his son, how to rule, to employ the practical principles of life and leadership that flow out of understanding the difference between a few main themes, the wise, or wisdom, and the fool, foolishness, what's right and what's wrong, the godly man and the evil man, the virtuous woman and the strange woman. So keep that in mind as you're reading Proverbs. From the son of David, the king of Israel, to his son, who will, you know, potentially, you don't know for sure, he didn't know at this time, but rule and reign after him when he dies or gives up the throne. Doctrinal application. So there's three ways to apply God's word when you're reading it. There's the historical application you need to understand, the doctrinal. The historical application is kind of what did Proverbs mean to the original audience and who it was written by. We'll look at the doctrinal application with what truths does Proverbs teach us about God. And then devotional application, lastly, at how should Proverbs change the way I live today? So the doctrinal application from Proverbs, from a prophetic standpoint, the book of Proverbs is revealing of wisdom to the nation of Israel during the tribulation, looking in advance. We're not when it was written, what it was written for. Now it's kind of what it means in the grand scope of things. But it can be interpreted by the nation of Israel during the tribulation. It's written by Israel's king to warn his people against the Antichrist and the seductive draw of false religion during what will be that time. And then devotional application from a devotional or inspirational standpoint, Proverbs is the revelation of wisdom from Israel's true king, the King of Kings, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, to all of us that have been made his sons. Or daughters, you know, but sons. All right, so now let's get into this a little bit further. I printed this on my home printer, and it doesn't believe in margins, apparently, so it's hard for me to understand where my next notes are, but you guys don't know, so I'm just going to keep rocking on, and maybe it'll be right. It'll be what's supposed to be heard anyway. So Proverbs teaches people how to live wisely, honor God, and how to treat others. And there are a lot of truths in Proverbs that are, once you understand and get your mind wrapped around, you can apply them today, tomorrow, your first day of school, your last day of school, on the weekends, on the soccer field. I know there's some soccer players over here. Two of them look alike. A little bit. See, I like to pick them out because I know they're so quiet and I just try to, all the attention goes to them. But what Proverbs can also teach you is how to rule your heart, your mind, your emotions, your passions, and your desires. There is God's word of wisdom to impart on your life on how to first rule your kingdom, yourself, but also then your house. As you become a father, your family, and then your church and the church, and how to be useful in that and how to do it well and how to do it as you're called to do it. So here's a key verse from Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear the Lord means having a deep respect, trust, and absolute reverence of God. The God that created the universe, the God that knew you before you were created, the God that sent his son to live and be the sinless man and die on the cross to represent our sin so we can be forgiven of our sins and be drawn close to God because he can't be in the presence of sin. So, that kind of gets my attention when I learn about what these proverbs are, rather than some of just the wise old sayings that I've heard my whole life growing up. And there's a lot of others. We should have passed it around to see what other ones you guys have, but I'd be a little afraid of the answers maybe. But let's stick in here. And what I was really contemplating is just understanding what the proverbs are, and then trying to draw out some things that I think would be encouraging to you guys as you start the next school year or just get started and continue to move on in whatever grade you're in. And there are more than probably 100 that you can draw out of here. And I've got 3 good ones and 3 backup ones. And I'll just tell you, I got 6 for you. The first one is choose your friends wisely. What you can draw out of the Proverbs, while we'll get into the Word and we're going to look exactly what it says, I just want to give you examples of how you can draw inspiration to apply to your life today. The truth is here, definitely not here. Let's go to Proverbs 13:20, and we'll show you an example. So when you're going into your next year of school, whether it's 6th grade or sophomore year or 9th grade. Are you going to a new school for 9th grade?
Homeschool.
So, that'd be good though. We're homeschooling all of our girls. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The people around you influence your choices without a doubt. there's a lot of, you know, applications of this specific proverb in the secular world. Warren Buffett. Has anybody ever heard of Warren Buffett? For a long time, he was the richest man in the world. We're talking billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. He's still alive. He's really old. But what he would say, and I didn't understand the connection, and I don't necessarily think he was connecting it on purpose, was always surround yourself with people smarter than you so you can get smarter. Always surround yourself with wise people so you can be wise. And if you are hanging out with fools, you're going to act like a fool. You guys have seen that before in school or, you know, at home or on trips. You know, you are who you surround yourself with. So find friends that follow God and who encourage good decisions and help you to be held accountable and resist peer pressure and bad things. It's a lot easier to resist peer pressure if your peers are wise and following God, rather than those that might try to distract and tempt you to do things that aren't honorable and upstanding. So choose your friends wisely. Have you guys ever heard that before? It's important, I can tell you. The other thing I've learned kind of in my life, I'll be 38 next week, so still a lot of years left, but I feel like I've seen a lot of things, is that there's two ways to learn something. You can learn something the hard way, or you can learn it the easy way. The hard way is to make mistakes yourself and not take advice from anybody else, and the easy way is to learn from somebody that might be a little bit wiser than you, that may or may not have made the mistakes themselves, learn something the hard way, and is trying to help you learn it the easy way. So that's another big thing to keep in mind as you're going through Proverbs. Learn it from the ultimate author, or you can just kind of figure it out yourself. And I promise you the latter is going to be a lot harder. So the next one is work hard and be responsible. We can go to Proverbs 10:4 to get some wisdom on that. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. What does that mean? Let's read it again. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Yep.
Don't be lazy. The man who actually works is the one who is rich.
Yeah, definitely. Success usually comes through effort, consistency, and responsibility. How can that apply to your life as a 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grader? Tristan?
Don't work, you don't eat.
What's that?
Don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah? Yeah, that is a verse in the Bible. Complete assignments fully and on time. Study for tests and quizzes. Don't just roll into it thinking you're going to know it. Give your best effort when things are easy and when things are hard. Yeah, that's right. You know, somebody once told me the biggest, and this guy was in his 80s, still working, and he said, my biggest regret is not getting up out of bed early when I was a teenager. Because he fought it his entire career, and at 80, that was a lot of years. He just struggled to get up and get moving and get to work, and that makes it hard to be responsible and to work on time and, you know, respecting your employer, and might be some of the reasons why he's still working at 80. And he'd be truthful, and he'd confirm that is definitely the reason. So these are pretty easy things to apply when you read them and you really meditate on them. Simple, good, encouraging things for middle schoolers and those in the first half of high school. Choose your friends wisely. Work hard and be responsible. And here's one that I think I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around, to be honest. I think simply it means watch your words, but let's read it first. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There is a lot of references to the tongue and to words. It's a sharp tool, and it can be used to hurt somebody, or it can be used to edify the body, encourage your peers, and support your friends. But words have great power to both help people and hurt people. And I think in this day and age, while there wasn't social media and the internet back then, God definitely knew that it was coming. And I think it your tongue and your mind, because now we're speaking to people, whether it's auditory or written down in a message or on a note passed in class. But your words, whether you're speaking them or writing them, delivered to somebody, heard or read, can really hurt or help people. And so, it's something you need to be very careful with your words. And I think as you grow in Christ and grow closer to God, a lot of this world is without God. They don't know Him. If you could use your mouth or your written word to draw people closer to God so that they can read really the truth and the wisdom that is from front to back in this book. I heard somebody say a really good devotion a couple years ago. And if I just take it, we're all saved here, or we're here at church early Sunday, so you've definitely been here before. But when we die, or when the second coming starts, we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to be in line getting ready to go before God. The person that brought you to know Christ will probably be up in line waiting, and there'll be some people behind him, some other people that he brought closer to the Lord during his life. But it's a chain, you know. Everybody has somebody who led them to the Lord. Who is going to be behind you in line? The people that you help steer towards God. You can't save anybody. He will. But how can you use your words and even your actions to make sure that you've got a line behind you when you're, entering the gates? And that's something that I think about every single day. Who's going to be behind you? Because there's going to be nobody behind you if you don't speak truth and tell your friends about the God who created the world and saved your soul from hell. Avoid gossip and bullying. That's a way that the tongue can be used with great power to hurt people. And use words to encourage your classmates. There is a lot that can be learned in Proverbs. These are just three that I thought might apply to middle school, and I might have changed them if I knew high schoolers were going to be in here, but they still can apply to me, to Sam, to Phil, Meredith, anybody of any age. We all need to be careful of these things. While historically King Solomon was writing to his son, prophetically God preserved his word so that you and I could read and apply these truths of wisdom every day in our life. The goal isn't simply knowing the sayings, right? Even if we're talking about the Proverbs from the African culture or the Native American culture, it's not just to know and be able to repeat them. It's to be able to understand what they are and apply them to our life. Simple sayings are just meaningless words that might sound good or make sense, but living them out every day at school or at home or at church or on the soccer field is a little bit harder than just knowing them. You can hear something, but sometimes it's harder to actually apply it. And that's what Proverbs is for. To help you discern from the wise and the fool, to help you discern from the what's right and what's wrong, a godly man versus an evil man, or a virtuous woman and a strange woman. As I got my head wrapped around what Proverbs actually was, I figured I would be a fool not to be in here and understand what these things are, so I can meditate on them and apply them to my life every day, because at the end of the day, this is from God saying, you should do this and you shouldn't do that. And it helps, to be honest, that it's in a pretty easy to navigate chapter of, or book of the Bible that you can get through. And so there's 31 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, chapters in the book of Proverbs. There's 28 to 31 days of a month. I encourage you in your daily reading not to interrupt your studying or whatever you might be reading in the Bible that day, but it's pretty easy to get through a proverb in a day. And if you do that for 20 years, one time every month, you're not only going to be able to memorize a lot of these proverbs, but you'll be able to meditate on them and apply them to your life. Because where application comes isn't necessarily reading it right here. What does that mean? And then, like, how can I do that? It's have it in your heart. So when an opportunity rises that you have to choose between left, right, or left, I'm trying to go on your side, you know what the wise choice is. And I really getting through the words here and understanding it, sometimes it's could choose to understand the words how it's written here, or just break it down like we did right here, whether it was the African proverb or the three that we looked at specifically out of the Bible. So seek wisdom daily, build godly character, and make wise choices. That's what the book of Proverbs is for. Proverbs 3:5. We'll go to one more. There are a couple more. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord starts with understanding what he's trying to tell you. You've got to be in the book to understand that. Three more principles for the new school year and we'll wrap up. And again, this isn't, you probably have heard all of these things before, but my challenge to you, a lot of these things are just familiar because you've heard them a whole bunch of times. I encourage you and challenge you to get them so understood and so familiar that you're applying them to your life and have them in your heart so you can live like you're supposed to live or how you're called to live. Fear God first, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you want to be a fool? I have been a fool for a long time in my life, and I try not to very hard. Choose wisdom over popularity. It's something you might be able to apply within a school year. 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Choose your friends wisely. And then let your words and actions reflect good character. 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, choose good friends, choose your words wisely, and who knows the third one? Ben? Well, that was a proverb, that's right, but work hard and be responsible was the third one. Choose your friends wisely, work hard and be responsible, watch your words, and guys, there is so much more wisdom in this book. I only pulled a few out that I thought might be useful to keep in mind as you start this year and the next years, whether it's in school or out of school. But I promise you there's a lot more that is in here that can apply to some more trying times in your life, no matter what you're going through. And so that's all I had for you today. Over.